The Legend of Sais and Halcyon. King Sais was at sea, his boat far from the shore, when a storm smote the deep, and from its tranquil plain grey foaming hills the hurricane piled up, and chasms between them ploughed, and lightning flared in the gloom, and loud rolled the thunder to crash in fury above the vessel. On deck the hoary waters eddied and swirled shin high, and Sais, knowing he must die, prayed, "Oh, that Halcyon, my wife, may know that I have lost my life, or she will pine amid despair and hope, kneeling in fruitless prayer to save from death a man long dead. I ask that she may know instead the certain truth, though bitter it be. And for myself, since the wide sea my tomb is, since no passers-by it can remind that here I lie, for words on water who can grave? Bidding men pray my soul to save. And since I am to die unshriven, O thou who art the Queen of Heaven, pray for my soul, and that will be more than if all men prayed for me." The Queen, in answer to his prayer, sent Aris, her winged messenger, whose robes are woven of rainbow light. She flew her many-coloured flight down to the tumult of the sea, and from his body she set free with ease his soul, which she imbued with heaven's purpose. Mid pale-hued and luminous fish he passed, or stones, timbers from wrecks and mortal bones, bedded in shifting sands, where wallow sea serpents, then through caverns hollow that to their dome the ocean fills, and rich roots of gold-hoarding hills, till out he came upon a deep, thick wooded slope, and down the steep he drifted many fathoms more than lowest level of ocean floor, to where sleep dwells in the valley's bed, and here his phantom presence shed a lustrous pallor through the gloom, revealing poppies in full bloom, and herbs potent in leaf or root for drugs, and the faint glow of fruit amid the sombre boughs half hiding. No winged ones chattering and chiding come here, nor beasts that cough and grunt, nor anything that might affront immortal sleep, but gentle calling of dove to dove, and far-off falling of waters, and the sigh of trees at touch of wind, and murmuring bees are welcome, for could silence sound, such were its voice. A youth he found deep sunken in a bed of moss that swelled about him. Morpheus it was, the son of sleep, the prince of dreams, who, troubled by the unwonted gleams, unclosed an eye, and sighed and shifted, and sighed again, and slowly lifted himself to sit in his mossy bed. "I am the ghost of Sais dead. Give me a dream that I may wear the shape that pleaseth me, and fare whither I will, and at what speed." The prince reached upward, and he freed a gossamer hanging from a yew, which cloakwise on the ghost he threw, and drooped once more to couch his head, and Sais stood by his wife's bed, ivory pale, with salt sand flecked, with living shells and weeds bedecked, while from his hair and from his beard dripped water, and his robe sea-smeared and sodden about his ankles clung, and water from his shoon was run. Love, for my safety, pray no more. My sails no watcher from the shore will ever sight. Yet do not weep, for I that come to thee in sleep, deathless soul am of body dead. The Queen of Heaven to thy bed hath sent me, and she biddeth thee go at daybreak, and by the sea search for my body. At thy side I will be present, an unseen guide. She found him at the water's brim, and waded out and gathered him fast in her arms. And then in awe and wonder her attendants saw from where they stood far off a cloud of many colours descend and shroud those two on whom their eyes were bent. For the Queen of Heaven had sent to fetch them to her, that they both the waters of immortal youth might drink, and ever dwell with her in paradise. And her messenger she bade leave in their wake a sign, that Halcyon soothsayer might divine their heavenly state. The people sought her, and there they found upon the water two birds most beautiful, in the stead of their queen alive and their king dead, fluttering their wings in blissful dance. And it is said that heaven still grants high favour to the Halcyons, and many daughters and many sons now dwell with them upon the foam, and when they build each year their home near to the shore, the Queen makes still the waves and guards them against all ill. Thus they are loved by voyaging men and held in reverence, for when they fly and swim and dance together about their nest, they make fair weather.